Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Dan Trotter, Pretty Good Bible Studies. I am now in Leviticus 8. I'm going to do verses 1 through 36, the entire chapter. The chapter concerns the consecration of Aaron, the high priest, and Aaron's sons. Our context is this. In our last chapter, Leviticus 7, we looked at miscellaneous laws concerning all of the offerings. The five major offerings, of course, are the burnt offering, the sin offering, the peace offering, the guilt offering, and the grain offering. So we start now in chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Take Aaron and his sons with him, and the garments, and the anointing oil, and the bull of the sin offering, and the two rams, and the basket of unleavened bread, and assemble all the congregation at the doorway of the tent of meeting." Now verse 1 says the Lord is still speaking to Moses. This, I assume, is from the front of the tabernacle, as John Gill says. Some people say maybe from the top of Mount Sinai. I don't think so. That was way back somewhere in the first part of Leviticus where God started speaking to Moses in front of the tabernacle at the doorway there. He said, "Take Aaron and his sons." Of course, Aaron's sons are Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar, and the garments. The garments, of course, were special priestly garments, the construction of which was described in Exodus 28, Exodus 29, Exodus 39, and Exodus 40. And I've already gone through extensive discussions on that in those audios, so I'm not going to go over that anymore. The anointing oil, that was specially made, had a certain amount of spices and so forth in the oil. Anointing oil is mentioned in Exodus 25, Exodus 29, Exodus 30. Exodus 30 gives you the composition of the anointing oil. This is Exodus 30, verse 23. "Take also for yourself the finest of spices, of flowing myrrh, 500 shekels, and of fragrant cinnamon, half as much, 250, and of fragrant cane, 250. What was this anointing oil used for? Well, when the priest getting ready to serve, they were anointed, as we'll see here. The anointing oil is going to be used in the ceremony in Leviticus 8. The tabernacle is anointed. The sacred objects in the tabernacle are anointed. The bread of the presence table, the seven-branched candlesticks, and the priests themselves were anointed. And, of course, kings were anointed. Prophets were anointed. Prophets, priests, and kings were all anointed. Now, verse 2 says that Moses is to take the bull of the sin offering. Now, this is the bull of the sin offering for the ordination of priest. This is mentioned in Exodus 29:1. "Now this is what you shall do to them, to consecrate them to minister as priests to me. Take one young bull and two rams without blemish." So the bull and the two rams are the three animals that are used in the ordination ceremony. Leviticus 4:3 says this: "If the anointed priest sins, bringing guilt on the people, he is to present to the Lord a young unblemished bull as a sin offering for the sin he has committed." So those verses tell us that the bull was the special animal used for a sin offering for the priest. Now, the ordinary sin offering for the priest was a bull offering. This is a bull offering for the ordination offering of the priest. Different thing. If once the priest had been ordained, if he sinned, he would have to have a bull to cover that sin as a sin offering. But this is the ordination of the high priest. He also needs a bull for that ceremony, as well as two rams. So I'm just going to call the bull and the two rams the ordination offering from now on. We'll see that this offering, this ordination offering, will consist of four of the ordinary blood offerings: the burnt offering, the peace offering, the sin offering. Well, three of them. The guilt offering is not mentioned. And one of the, and the other major offering, the grain offering, is also part of the ordination offering. So let me say that again. The ordination offering has elements of the elements which consist of a burnt offering, a peace offering, and a sin offering. It also has grain offering. Now, the phrase ordination offering is actually mentioned in Leviticus 7:37 in the last chapter. "This is the law of the burnt offering, the grain offering, and the sin offering, and the guilt offering, and the ordination offering, and the sacrifice of peace offerings." So all of the five sacrifices, the major offerings, are mentioned right there in Leviticus 7:37, and also something else called the ordination offering. So that's why we're going to give it a special name. In Leviticus 8:22, we read this: Then he presented the second ram, the ram of ordination, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the ram. So the ram was called the ram of ordination, the second ram. And so that's why we get the idea that this offering is a special offering called the ordination offering. Now, the first ram was used as a burnt offering. We'll see that in Leviticus 8:18. Then he presented the ram for the burnt offering. That's the first ram. And Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the ram. So, just to summarize again, we got a bull for a sin offering. We got the first ram for a burnt offering. And the second ram is for a peace offering, the ram of ordination. Now, it doesn't say right here yet that it's a peace offering, but we'll see. It's very similar to a peace offering. It's a little bit different, but the sacrifice of that second ram is very similar to a peace offering. Verse 3 of Leviticus 8 says that Moses is to assemble all the congregation. As the NASB puts it, the Holman Christian Study Bible has all the community. They're to be assembled at the doorway of the tent of meeting. And, of course, that means right in front of that bronze altar, which is at the doorway of the tabernacle, the tent of meeting. Now, when it says that all of the people were assembled, that, of course, cannot mean 600,000 men. It's talking about the elders of the people, the big shots, the leaders. Of course, the individuals of the congregation could not be assembled. So these elders assembled in the courtyard to observe this ordination ceremony. We go down to Leviticus 8, verses 4 through 9. So Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and the community assembled at the entrance to the tent of meeting. Moses said to them, "This is what the Lord has commanded to be done." Then Moses presented Aaron and his sons and washed them with water. He put the tunic on Aaron, wrapped the sash around him, clothed him with the robe, and put the ephod on him. He put the woven band of the ephod around him and fastened it to him. Then he put the breastpiece on him and placed the Urim and Thummim into the breastpiece. He also put the turban on his head and placed the gold medallion, the holy diadem, on the front of the turban as the Lord had commanded Moses. Now, all of this is an enumeration of the priest, the high priest garments, which we have already gone over in great detail in Exodus 28 and 29. So let me just very briefly summarize these garments. The high priest, first of all, wore linen underwear. And on top of that, he wore a robe. And on top of that, a tunic. And on top of that, an ephod. An ephod was a sleeveless garment covering either the breast or the loins and legs, depending on how you interpret the scriptures. But that's four layers of clothing right there. He also had a sash on. Then he had a breastpiece, which is a folded piece of cloth with 12 beautifully colored precious, semi-precious stones on the breastpiece. Inside that folded breastpiece, you had the Urim and Thummim, which nobody knows exactly what it is, but it was used to divine the future sometimes. Probably rocks that they drew from. Black rock says no. White rock means yes. Who knows? I've gone over all the possibilities of that, all the speculations, in the appropriate place in Exodus 28 and 29. Of course, the turban had the gold medallion which said, "Holy is the Lord," which was tied to the front of the turban. So basically, all of this has been described when the Israelites were told how to make these garments. The garments have been made, and they're ready to be put on the high priest. Now, notice that Moses presented Aaron and his sons, I guess that means presented them to the Lord by standing them in front of the altar. I don't think it means presented them to the congregation. Could be. But at any rate, they were publicly stood up there and they were washed with water. Now, typically a priest, when he washed before he did a sacrifice, he only washed his hands and his feet, as Jameson Fawcett Brown pointed out. But at their ordination, they had to wash their whole bodies. Now, Jameson Fawcett Brown say they had to wash their whole bodies, but I got a question. How did they do that with their clothes on? So I suspect that maybe they just washed their hands and feet like they did on ordinary occasions. I don't know how you can wash a priest in public there without causing a great deal of scandal. However they were washed, the symbolism is very clear. It stands for purity, because when you wash something, you make it clean. And so these priests had to be clean in order to carry out their functions as a mediator between God and the people. Now, of course, where did this washing take place? That was in the bronze laver that was in the courtyard between the altar the bronze altar of burnt offering and the doorway to the tent of meeting. The bronze laver was set off to the side a little bit in between those two things. We go down to Leviticus 8:10-14. Moses then took the anointing oil and anointed the tabernacle and all that was in it and consecrated them. He sprinkled some of it on the altar 7 times and anointed the altar and all its utensils and the basin and its stand to consecrate them. Then he poured some of the anointing oil on Aaron's head and anointed him to consecrate him. Next, Moses had Aaron's sons come near and clothed them with tunics and girded them with sashes and bound caps on them, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Now, Aaron's sons here, of course, are Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, and they are going to be regular, ordinary priests. They're not going to be the high priest. They're going to graduate to that when Aaron dies, except, of course, Nadab and Abihu didn't get to take over because they did something stupid, offered strange fire, and got themselves killed. So it was Eleazar who was next elevated. But at this time, they're not high priests. They are just clothed with tunics, with sashes, had their cap, their priest caps on. So they're ordained right along with Aaron, the high priest. Verse 14, then he, that's Moses, brought the bull of the sin offering, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the bull of the sin offering. Okay, verse 11 says the anointing oil was sprinkled on the altar 7 times. That oil, of course, is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. This is God's Spirit. He's over this whole consecration ceremony 7 times. 7 is the number of divine perfection. So the altar is perfectly consecrated. Consecrated means separated unto God. Same thing as being made holy, sanctified is sometimes a synonym. So the altar is set apart to God, as well as its utensils and basins and stands. Everything's set apart to God, sprinkled with the anointing oil. In verse 12, Aaron is sprinkled with the anointing oil, and he's consecrated just like the altar is. Then Aaron's sons. It doesn't say that Aaron's sons had anointing oil poured on them at this point. But Aaron the high priest is anointed, and this calls to mind that famous Psalm 133, verse 2. It is like the precious oil upon the head. What is? Unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head coming down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard coming down upon the edge of his robes. That edge, of course, is to the collar of his coat, not the bottom edge, but the top edge of his robes as the oil comes down off of Aaron's head. This, of course, is the famous verse that Christians love to quote when the church is about to blow up. Unity is a wonderful thing, and I've seen lots of examples of it in the Christian church. I've also seen lots of examples of the opposite, and I'm telling you, if unity is like precious oil, disunity is the opposite of that. It's very, very horrible. In verse 14, Moses brings the bull of the sin offering to Aaron and his sons who are standing there. And Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the bull of the sin offering. Why'd they do that? Well, it showed complete identity with the bull. As the animal died, so the offerer deserved to die. Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, they all deserved to die because they had the hands on that animal. That animal was going to die. Also, the sins of those 5 gentlemen were symbolically transferred to the animal so that the sins could be atoned for and washed clean by the blood that was on the altar. The bull of the sin offering, again, this is the special bull, the special sin offering during the ordination. And just to repeat this, the bull is offered for atonement of sin, and that's the sin offering. The first ram is the burnt offering. That's for worship because a burnt offering is a whole burnt offering, which symbolizes the complete and utter dedication and consecration to God of the believer as he goes up in smoke, symbolic on the altar up into heaven. And then the second ram, which is the ram of the ordination offering, which is very much like a peace offering. We'll see that when we get to verse 22. That was the animal whose blood was smeared on the right ear, the right thumb, and the right toe of the priest. Now, the bull of the sin offering was offered each day during the 7 days of consecration. This ordination ceremony lasted 7 days. We read in Exodus 29, verse 36, each day you shall offer a bull as a sin offering for atonement. That means each of the 7 days. So it's 7 bulls. And you shall purify the altar when you make atonement for it, and you shall anoint it to consecrate it. The next question I have is, well, if the bull, a sin offering, is offered for each day of the consecration, what about the two rams. The ram for the burnt offering, was it offered 7 days? The ram for the ordination offering, was it offered 7 days? I don't know. I can't find any confirmation one way or the other. I'm sort of 50-50 on it, and I'm not sure which would be the most logical way to do that. So I'll leave it as an open question. We go down to Leviticus 8, verses 15 through 17. Next, Moses slaughtered it. That's the bull, the sin offering bull. He slaughtered it and took the blood and with his finger put some of it around on the horns of the altar and purified the altar. That's typical how they did blood sin offerings. Then he poured out the rest of the blood at the base of the altar, also typical, and consecrated it. Consecrate means to dedicate it to God or separate it unto God's service. So the altar has now been consecrated to make atonement for it. Atonement means to cover sin. It has lots of rich meaning, but one of the meanings is to cover. So the sins of the altar are covered, so to speak, and that makes sense because there's going to be a lot of sin offering offered on that altar. Verse 16, he, Moses, also took all the fat that was on the entrails and the lobe of the liver and the two kidneys and their fat. Whenever we see fat, it's real easy to remember. It's the same fat. The liver fat, which is called a lobe, covering over the fatty covering over the liver. The kidney fat, which includes the kidneys themselves. The entrail fat, which is fat over the entrails and fat connected to it. And then the fat tail, if the offering was a sheep, the fat around the tail was called the fat tail. So I'm just going to say fat. When we say fat, that's the Lord's portion. It was standard for all the sacrifices. And as in all sin offerings, the fat is offered up on the altar to the Lord. Moses offered it up in smoke on the altar, verse 17, but the bull and its hide and its flesh and its refuse he burned in the fire outside the camp. Well, that, of course, is how sin offerings were taken care of. Everything is burnt, including the hide. The hide was not given to the priest, as with a burnt offering. The hide is burnt up, not on the altar. But all the dung, the excrement, the flesh, everything was burned outside the camp because the camp is holy, outside the camp is unholy, and that's the bull is carrying sin. So the bull gets burned up outside the camp. Fat goes up on the altar to God because God always gets the fat of the offering. The fat is the best part, even as the fat of the land is the best part of the land. All of this was done just as the Lord had commanded Moses. When did the Lord commanded Moses? Exodus 29:14, but the flesh of the bull at its hide and its refuse you shall burn with fire outside the camp. It is a sin offering. So we'll see as a general pattern, the commands were given back in Exodus, the end of Exodus, and they're carried out here in Leviticus 8 just as Moses was told to do it. We go now to Leviticus 8 verses 18 through 21. Then he, that's Moses, presented the ram of the burnt offering, that's the first ram, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the ram. Now, they've already laid their hands on the head of the bull. Now they're going to lay their head on the head of the ram. This is a burnt offering, so they're saying, we, the priest, offer ourselves wholly, completely to you. All of us belongs to you, God, because the ram will be wholly burnt on the altar, except for the hide. Verse 19, Moses slaughtered the first ram, and sprinkled the blood around the altar. When he had cut the ram into its pieces, Moses offered up the head and the pieces and the suet in smoke. After he had washed the entrails and the legs with water, Moses offered up the whole ram in smoke on the altar. It was a burnt offering for a soothing aroma. It was an offering by fire to the Lord, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. So just as the bull blood was sprinkled around the altar, so is the ram blood, the first ram's blood sprinkled around on the altar. Everything has to be covered with blood. The ram was cut into pieces as to make it burn better, most probably. So the head and the pieces and the suet. The suet is the, quote, the hard white fat on the kidneys and loins of cattle, sheep, and other animals used to make foods, including puddings, pastry, and mincemeat. This is from the Oxford Dictionaries on the Internet. So with a burnt offering, of course, not only is fat, it doesn't mention the typical four pieces of fat, but you got fat on the kidneys here. That goes up as well. I'm sure as all the rest of the fat went up because the whole animal is being burnt because it's a whole burnt offering. All this was done just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Once again, Moses is pointing out as he writes this, hey, I did it just like God told me. Exodus 29:18, you shall offer up and smoke the whole ram on the altar. It is a burnt offering to the Lord. It is a soothing aroma, an offering by fire to the Lord. All right, so the ordination ceremony is proceeding as commanded. We go now to Leviticus 8, verses 22 through 29. Then he, that's Moses, presented the second ram, the ram of ordination, And Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the ram. All right, they've already laid their hands on the head of the burnt offering, of the sin offering, the bull. They've laid their hands on the head of the first ram, the burnt offering, and now they're laying their hands on the head of the second ram, the ram of ordination, which is like a peace offering. 23, Moses slaughtered it, the ram of ordination, the second ram, and took some of its blood and put it on the lobe of Aaron's right ear and on the thumb of his right hand and on the big toe of his right foot. Now, this sprinkling of the blood on the ear, thumb, and foot, or ear, thumb, and toe, this is something that was not done with a typical peace offering. This is different. That's why we're going to call this the ram of ordination. Verse 24, he also had Aaron's sons come near, and Moses put some of the blood on the lobe of their right ear and on the thumb of their right hand and on the big toe of their right foot. Moses then sprinkled the rest of the blood around on the altar. So just as the blood of the bull offering, just as the blood of the first burnt offering is sprinkled, so is the blood of the ordination offering, the peace offering. It's spread around the altar. Blood, blood, blood. Everywhere is blood because the life is in the blood. Life has to be given as a sacrifice for the life of the people who should have died, the people for whom the sacrifices were being made. Verse 25, he, Moses, took the fat tail, and all the fat that was on the entrails and the lobe. That's the four pieces of fat. And the two kidneys and their fat. So that's standard fat offering. And the right thigh, I'm assuming that's the right foreleg. It doesn't say right foreleg, but in a peace offering, the right foreleg went to the officiating priest. This is a little bit different here because this is an ordination peace offering. So I'm assuming the right thigh is the right foreleg. Verse 26, from the basket of unleavened bread that was before the Lord. Now, there was three types of unleavened offerings depending on how they were cooked. They could be cooked in an oven, which was a hole in the ground covered with the walls of which were covered with plaster, or on a griddle, which was a flat piece of iron. You could put a wafer on a griddle, or on a pan, which is a flat container with edges around, just like we call a pan. And typically a grain offering was the memorial portion of the flour mixed with oils put on the altar and burn up, and then the rest of the grain flour mixed with oil was then made into cakes or wafers and then cooked in one of those three ways and put in a basket. Now, I'm assuming here, and I could be wrong, but I'm assuming that these three types of unleavened bread were baked from a previous sin offering, a previous grain offering, and so they were just sitting in the basket already. I'm not sure of that. Maybe they had a special grain offering that's not mentioned where they put a memorial portion on the altar, it went up and smoked, they took the remainder and then baked it for the occasion. I'm not sure, but at any rate, they had the three types of unleavened bread in the basket. And Moses took those three types, and then he put them on the fat and on the right thigh, the fat of the four pieces of fat, and on the right foreleg. So the fat is God's portion. The right thigh is normally the officiating priest's portion, but that's not true here because the officiating priests are getting consecrated themselves. So you got grain offering on top of fat on top of the right thigh. In verse 27, he then put all these on the hands of Aaron and on the hands of his son and presented them as a wave offering before the Lord. And so this is a special deal in the ordination. Aaron and his, if you can picture Aaron and his sons holding out their hands, and then on top of their hands, Moses puts the right thigh of the second ram. There's only one right thigh, so I assume that's on Aaron's hand. And then all the fat he puts on their hands, maybe distributing that out to the other sons. And then the bread offering is spread out also, and it's stacked up 1, 2, 3 on each person's hand, and then they wave it. So wave offering before the Lord, and waving, of course, means they move it to the left, move it to the right, symbolizing that we've covered the whole everything. We're covering everything of the altar. It's all yours, God. We're covering every square inch of that altar as we go from left to right. Then Moses, verse 28, then Moses took them from their hands and offered them up and smoke on the altar with the burnt offering. The burnt offering, of course, was the first ram. He offered them up and smoke. Now, there's a question here. Did he offer the grain up with the thigh and with the fat? Well, later on, Moses and his sons are going to be seen to be eating that bread, so I don't think the bread is included here in the them. He offered them up and smoke. It's probably referring to the thigh and the fat. They were an ordination offering for a soothing aroma. It was an offering by fire to the Lord. Verse 29, Moses also took the breast and presented it for a wave offering before the Lord. Now Moses is operating in place of the priest now, and the typical peace offering, the breast was offered for the high priest and all the other priests, not the officiating priest, but all the priests. The right foreleg went for the officiating priest that was handling the ceremony. But here, Moses takes the breast. He represents all the priesthood. He presented that breast as a wave offering before the Lord. It was Moses' portion of the ram of ordination. Now, I have a question here. Was that breast, which was waved before the Lord, was it then put on the altar and burnt? Or was it taken to the courtyard, cooked, and eaten in the fellowship meal with the priest, which happened a little bit later? I don't know the answer to that. Likewise, that right thigh, which in a peace offering was normally heaved or lifted up and down before the altar, but here it's waved. And it was usually for the officiating priest to eat in the fellowship meal, but here was it rather put on the altar and burnt? It says in verse 38, then Moses took them from the hands and offered them up in smoke on the altar. Sounds like they were burnt rather than eaten at the fellowship meal. The problem with that is the Moses took them from their hands and offered them up in smoke. That could be, the antecedent to that could be the portions of fat, which of course is offered to the Lord, whereas the other pieces of the animal are kept for the fellowship meal. So it's a little bit unclear to me. Now in verse 28, it says, Moses took from their hands and offered them up in smoke on the altar with the burnt offering. So the pieces of the ordination ram was offered with the burnt offering, either the fat or the wave, or either the fat or the breast or the right foreleg or just the fat, whatever it was burnt with the burnt offering. Which burnt offering is that? That could be the burnt offerings of the early of the evening and morning sacrifice, the famous two sacrifices of the day, or it could be the burnt offering of the first ram. I think it's more easy. It's easier to say it's the burnt offering, the first ram, that is a burnt offering in this ordination ceremony. Now, I've left the best part to last, really, of this section of Scripture. What does it mean when Moses smeared the blood of this ram of ordination and put it on the lobe of Aaron's right ear and then on the thumb of his right hand and on the big toe of his right foot? And then he does the same thing for the sons of Aaron. Why? Well, this is actually fairly easy symbolism. All aspects of Aaron are covered by blood. Everything Aaron hears, that's on his right ear. Kylan Dillich says that Aaron is always to hearken to the word of God. Everything he hears is covered by the blood of God, sacrificial blood. Everything Aaron does is also covered by blood, the thumb of his right hand. Kylan Dillich says that means that Aaron is to discharge the priestly functions properly. Everywhere Aaron goes, the big toe of his right foot covered with blood. Kylan Dillich says that Aaron should walk correctly in the sanctuary. So that makes sense. Why the right ear, the right hand, and the right toe? Because that's the dominant strong side for most people, and so the strength, the flesh of the priest is covered by the blood. In other words, he does things strongly. He hears strongly. He does strongly. He walks strongly. We go now to, well, let me make the point again. Verse 29, Moses always says, just as the Lord had commanded Moses, all this stuff was done. Well, the Lord had commanded Moses to do all this back in Exodus 29, verse 26. Then you shall take the breast of Aaron's ram of ordination and wave it as a wave offering before the Lord, and it shall be your portion. So this is just carrying out God's orders Moses is doing. Now let's go to the last seven verses, Leviticus 8, 30 through 36. So Moses took some of the anointing oil and some of the blood which was on the altar and sprinkled it on Aaron, on his garments, on his sons, and on the garments of his sons with him. And he consecrated Aaron, his garments, and his sons, and the garments of his sons with him. Then Moses said to Aaron and to his sons, boil the flesh at the doorway of the tent of meeting, and eat it there together with the bread which is in the basket of the ordination offering, just as I commanded, saying, Aaron and his sons shall eat it. The remainder of the flesh and of the bread you shall burn in the fire. You shall not go outside the doorway of the tent of meeting for 7 days until the day that the period of your ordination is fulfilled, for he will ordain you through 7 days. The Lord has commanded to do as has been done this day, to make atonement on your behalf, at the doorway of the tent of meeting. Moreover, you shall remain day and night for 7 days and keep the charge of the Lord, so that you will not die, for so I have been commanded. Thus Aaron and his sons did all the things which the Lord had commanded through Moses. So Moses takes the anointing oil and some of the blood which was on the altar and sprinkled it on Aaron. Now, first question is blood. Which blood is it? Whose blood is it? Well, Ellicott says it's the blood of the ordination ram, the second ram, not the blood of the ordination bull. That makes sense to me because that was the immediate context here. He takes some of the anointing oil and the anointing blood. The anointing oil and the blood. Well, there's a dispute among the commentators whether the blood and oil will mix together or were they administered separately. I tend to think it was separate. Ellicott says, quote, whether the anointing oil and the blood were sprinkled separately or whether they were mixed together cannot possibly be gathered either from this passage or from Exodus 29:21, which gives the order. Let me read Exodus 29:21. Take some of the blood that is on the altar and some of the anointing oil and sprinkle. It just doesn't say whether the anointing oil is mixed with the blood or not. So you can take your choice on that. I tend to think they were separate. Mixing it together seems sort of, I don't know, it just doesn't seem right to me. Verse 31 has Moses telling Aaron to boil the flesh at the doorway of the tent of meeting. That word boil is sometimes translated as cook in several translations. I like cook better because I like roast lamb, which is so good, compared to boiled lamb, which is so bland. So anyway, cook the flesh. That means the rest of the ordination ram, the second ram, not the breast, not the right foreleg, but the rest of the flesh at the door of the tent of meeting, and eat it there together. There's their fellowship meal with the bread which is in the basket of the ordination offering, just as I commanded, saying, Aaron and his son shall eat it. Now, here's a problem. They're supposed to eat the bread which is in the basket of the ordination offering. Well, it sounds like that bread was already burnt up. If we go back to verse 26, we read, from the basket of unleavened bread that was before the Lord, he took one unleavened cake, one cake of bread mixed with oil and one wafer, and placed them on the portions of fat on the right thigh. This is on the hands of Aaron. He put them all on the hands and then did a wave offering. In verse 28, Moses took them and offered them a smoke on the altar. What does the them refer to? Well, if it refers to the three kinds of unleavened cakes, it sounds like he burnt those up on the altar, but since that was never done in the other offerings, I don't think the them refers to the cakes, the unleavened cakes. It's referring to the, probably, to the breast and the right thigh, assuming they were burnt up on the altar and not kept back for eating in the meal. If they were kept back for eating in the fellowship meal, then it would be the portions of fat that were burnt up on the altar. So that is how I handle the problem of why it sounds like the bread offering, the grain offering, was burnt up on the altar and then it was eaten by the Aaron and his sons at the doorway of the tent of meeting. Once again, Moses said, just as God commanded. Moses said to Aaron, just as I commanded, saying, Aaron and his sons shall eat it. So do it, Moses, just as I commanded. Cook the flesh at the doorway and let Aaron and his sons eat it. Notice that here, Aaron and his sons are the only people that can eat this type of peace offering, this ordination ram offering. Ordinary peace offerings, it was not only Aaron and his sons that could eat, but family and strangers could be invited also, as Ellicott says. Now, verse 32 says, anything left over is put in the fire and burn up the remainder of the flesh and of the bread. Why do you burn up leftovers? Well, leftovers could not then be corrupted by going bad or spoiling. They could not be put to common use. They could not be put to superstitious use if people decided to start worshiping them as part of a holy offering, because all of this is supposed to be special, holy to the Lord. We don't want to be eating meat at home as a common meal. Notice that in verse 33, the priest shall not go outside the doorway of the tent of meeting for 7 days. Seven is the number of divine perfection and completion. It took them 7 days to get totally consecrated and holy enough before they could start their priestly duties. They had to stay there right outside the doorway of the tent of meeting, right at in the courtyard. And my question is how did they do that? Did they stand up there day and morning and noon and night? Of course not. Nobody could do that. I assume they put tents there in the courtyard and they slept out there, although it doesn't say, but I think that's reasonable. Now, verse 35 says, you shall stay at the doorway day and night for 7 days, so that you will not die. You will stay 7 days and seven nights, and keep the charge of the Lord so that you will not die. What does that mean? Keep the charge of the Lord in general so that you will not die, or stay out there for 7 days or seven nights and don't move, because if you do, you're going to die. I think it's the latter, because that was one of the charges of the Lord. That's serious business. You got to stay there for 7 days. It's kind of a probation period before the priest could enter into the temple. Ladies and gentlemen, we have now slogged our way through Leviticus chapter 8. Again, this stuff is not easy, but I'm doing the best I can. I hope you're getting something out of it. I know I am, even though I might not be sure about a few details. I think a lot of the commentators are not sure about a lot of the details either. But at any rate, we are now prepared to move on into chapter 9, which is verses 1 through 24. The Lord accepts Aaron's offering. We'll take that up next audio. I hope you listen to that audio, and I hope you have enjoyed this one.